And aloha, welcome to the Travel Angel Radio Show. We've got a special theme for this hour of the Travel Angel Show. I'm in the studio, always nice to have back Kathy Takushi, who's just about recovered from her fabulous trip to Egypt, her six-star trip to Egypt with, I bet you haven't organized your pictures yet, have you?
I have not done that.
That's always the last thing to happen, right?
No.
You know, it's like, I still have pictures on my phone from a trip I took to Tahiti last November, I haven't organized yet, so I understand that.
It's hard. What do you mean by recovered? What happened?
Well, the time zone was how long?
Well, it's a 12-hour time difference, okay. It wasn't so bad. We kind of broke it up, but you still or off a little bit for a
I was more concerned you fell, got some bad water.
Oh, no.
My stomach was good. There was a couple people that had some stomach issues, but mine was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're good?
Well, you travel a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about Japan, and you have mentioned in the past, Kathy, that you get more requests for people wanting to go to Japan. That's one of your number one requests and bookings.
Mm-hmm. These days,
a trip
yeah.
to Japan.
Yeah. I think... Because, there's a lot of Japanese, ancestry from in mm-hmm. Hawaii. It's close. It's clean. It's safe.
That's true. It's true.
I think those are the top.
And this week we were just talking about the fact that Hawaiian Airlines offered a trip to Osaka, but it's for the summer for $577.
Yeah,
now, that's not including taxes, fees, etc. But, I was all excited about it. And you said, well, that's summer, and it's hot in the summer. And I hadn't actually put that thought in my head. And if you don't know that, you might not know it. But the price is good. And if you don't mind temperatures and stuff, it might
be. August is a month where it is very,
When you
very
say very hot.
Hot,
is it like that humid?
It's
do you step outside
muggy,
and you?
Muggy hot, like you cut the air, take a step, cut the air again.
Oh, it's like that, yeah.
Kind of hot. It can be. But it really depends on where you are. If you're in the city, it's going to be oppressive city hot. You can take a trip out to the mountains, and it's gorgeous. Just like here, if you don't like the weather, drive uphill.
Up country, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting thought, because that's, of course, what you do if you live there. You go outside, and that might be why the prices, probably is why the prices are cheaper.
Just
I should introduce you properly. Jason, who's the co-host of the Solar Coaster Show, which just celebrated its first anniversary, is here in the studio. And he was just in last week, actually, and I wasn't aware that he lived in Japan for 10 years and has a wife that lives there in Osaka, and that there'd been this long-distance Japanese kind of going Japan, Hawaii, all around the country in this amazing relationship that developed and blossomed and kind of is lovely. We're going to talk about that a little more. But do you get requests, Kathy, at Captivating Journeys to go in the summer? I mean, do people know when they called to book a trip to Japan that might be a factor?
Some of them know, some don't. Like last year I had one and they knew, but that was the only time they could go. And when she came back, she said, yes, it was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a factor, something to consider. I mean, I don't do well in very, very hot weather. I went to Hong Kong years and years ago, and it was August. And I remember walking outside. I stayed at the lovely Peninsula Hotel. And I walked outside literally two blocks and had to go back and take a shower. It was that kind of humidity. Then I realized 2 days later, they were boarding up all of the huge windows in the lobby at the Peninsula. And all of a sudden, I was getting these notices under the door that there was going to be, a huge storm coming in and literally buckets and buckets of rain. I was the last kind of flight out of Hong Kong at that time. I'm going, this might not have been the best month to go to Hong Kong, And you learn that way, which time is good time to go and which time is not good to go. But that's why you have a travel agent. Like Kathy Takushi, Captivating Journeys, can kind of direct you in the right
direction.
Help guide
you.
That's what I was going to say, ask your travel professional.
Thank you. Thanks, Jason.
You two knew each other because you worked together.
The Maui
ages
Marathon.
Ago. Yeah, I was the finish line coordinator and a couple other
things
under Ruby.
I was the travel,
doing travel
coordinator.
Yeah. Oh.
And I helped you in the finish line.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And a lot of people from Japan came in for the marathon.
Yeah, a huge, huge contingent every year. We really appreciate them coming out year after year. Of course, I've stopped doing that particular job, so I'm not familiar with
it.
Are you still, doing it? Do we still see the same folks? Because it was so cool to see them all come back every single year. They loved the whole
It's fun. I didn't go to the race last year, but I know they're still doing that part.
Nice. So what is the most requested airline that people have when they want to take a trip to Japan?
I think Hawaiian, because they have a nonstop into Narita, Haneda, and Osaka. So if you fly, a lot of people, you know, they want to do fly into one and out of the other. So then they would just take the train between. So that's Hawaiian has been having pretty good flights.
Yes.
And fares.
And the seats are comfortable, and they serve food.
They do.
Which is nice.
But the other airlines do on it because it's international.
Oh, that's right. It's international.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Yeah.
But the other factor is that a lot of people here in Hawaii have Hawaiian miles.
Hawaiian miles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you either go free or you can get an upgrade. Like I did, I got a pretty good fare and I upgraded.
Did you get to sleep?
Yeah.
The full flat.
Yeah.
The flat
sleeper. Yeah, they don't do first class anymore, but they're all business class.
Yeah.
But they're nice and they're
nice.
Flat.
They're
took one on the way back.
This comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had the was it first class? No, it was business class.
It's business class now.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't flatbed though.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
How nice that is.
In fact, I think I still have some pictures. Of course, we can't show them on the radio.
how much time difference between here and Japan?
It is, what is it? It's five hours behind us, but tomorrow.
Okay.
Because of the dateline.
Is it like 8 hours?
It's five.
I forget.
It's only five.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that bad. I can send my wife a text message now, and she won't be mad at me.
It's good to know, right?
Right. But it's actually 19 hours ahead is the official diagnosis.
So it's more than Europe.
It's 8:12 in the morning, right?
So it's longer distance than Europe. Okay.
19 hours ahead.
Wow.
So 8:12 in the morning. In fact, my kids are probably in school by now.
And do you keep currency handy in both? I imagine you have a little
I've got a list of little things to touch on as we sit here. How long do we have?
We have an hour.
We have a full hour? Good.
Yeah.
Currency exchange is actually one of the things I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Just because I've lived that for many, many years.
Uh-huh.
And it has, I think the first time I went, it was, I want to say like $135 per dollar. It was a long, long time ago in 1993. And it was so that was really beneficial for people coming in from other places, certainly with the U.S. dollar. It has been as low as 71, which is quite literally half the value.
Wow.
That's not recent. Over the past 5 years, it's been as high as 125. Today, we're at 109. To give you some perspective, a Big Mac is 390 yen, which is $3.55. So it's not too far off what you would expect to pay.
You can keep track of it.
And I like just to give folks a base idea of what they're paying for things there, just shift the decimal. Imagine all the prices are in pennies. And because it's a little over that, you're actually getting a bit of a discount, but it's not too much. Sales tax has gone up quite a bit recently in Japan. It used to be 5%, and now it's 8%. So you want to be aware of that as you go around purchasing things. However, with the influx of Chinese tourists, most of the shop, I mean, it's absolutely huge. Japan has really changed over the past, I want to say, 5 years or so, at least Osaka has, where there's an awful lot more of other tourists from other Asian destinations, not so much from, I used to see a lot of Australians and Europeans and of course, Americans. And I don't see those folks very much anymore, but there's a huge influx of Chinese, especially. And most of the shops have started actually giving tax refunds right in the store. So if you produce your passport, show them that, they will not charge you the sales tax.
That's nice to know. That's a great,
everything. That's a
great,
really, really good
great
one.
Tip. I like that tip.
Yeah, make sure you take advantage of that because it can be a significant amount of money depending on what you're doing. Also, just for currency exchange, don't go to the bank and certainly don't use the booth at the airport.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens is people sometimes don't think, and they need to get a cab or an Uber. What, you have Uber in Japan? Uber?
I've never seen one.
Oh, okay.
We tend to use the regular taxis because there's just so many of them. But public transport is a thing in Japan.
Like, yes.
You take the trains literally everywhere.
And you need Japanese currency.
You do need currency.
Mm-hmm.
So only change a small amount at the airport if you absolutely have to. That's the one at the airport is the absolute worst. Banks are a little better, but they still charge you a couple yen per dollar
so
that you change.
So what do you do when you need to
There are lots of little booths, and you'll see them places because they have, generally they have tickets for things or gift certificates or that type of stuff just out in little glass showcases. But they also do currency exchange. And this is where the Japanese people go when they're going to come to Honolulu. They will go there and they'll buy little packets of U.S. dollars. And inside the packet,
they have little packets.
They make little packets. But how they get the U.S. dollars is they buy them from us. So when you go up to the shop, you can actually sell in your bills. Make sure you have the new style, like the blue hundreds and the pink 20 or 10s or whatever they are. They get the colored ones. They much prefer flat, nice, crispy bills, and I've actually had them turn money away saying,
because
it didn't look good. And like I said, they're going to resell these things. But they do give you by far the best exchange rate. It's
How do you know when you see which stores have these little packets?
Like I said, from far away, you'll see glass cases, and they have a lot of tickets and gift certificates and things, movie tickets, etc., in the glass case. But if you look on top of the counter or in the side, or maybe they have a little TV monitor that's updating the currency exchange rate. You'll see that as well. And they're literally everywhere. I mean, there's three of them within 5 minutes walking in at my house, and probably more that I don't know of.
That's great.
Or four. No, I'm sorry. The new one just popped up. There's like four within 5 minutes walking.
And your house is in Osaka.
Mm-hmm. That house is in Namba, which is one of the two major shopping districts in Osaka. There's Umeda and Namba. So those are the two major tourist and shopping districts.
Now, you know, it used to be everyone would come to America to do shopping and not always the best prices in Honolulu, but still we'd have, you know, I mean, really truckloads of visitors coming in and doing shopping.
That is their vision of coming to Hawaii. The girls want to go to the outlet store, and the guy wants to go check
golfing?
Out the girls on the beach. Or,
oh, I thought
or
they whatever. Wanted to go golfing. Okay.
Yeah, that's a little old school.
Oh, is it old school? Oh, okay.
You know, speaking of that, when I was in Tokyo, we came across this local market in Shinjuku. Mm-hmm. And then I was walking around, and I met this guy, and he had all these things from like Kapalua Golf, like t-shirts and hats. I guess
really?
He used to come to Maui a lot, and he was selling them, you know, and he would stop doing that, so he was selling them at the flea market.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, but there has been this complete revolution of culture, an explosion of Hawaiian dance, the hula halaus, right? And it's really become a huge thing for the singers, the Hawaiian singers, to go in and sell out stadiums. I mean, and this is all within the last 15 years, to the point where now people like someone like Uluwe Guerrero and others have halaus they've started, and they visit regularly, and they have a huge amount of people that have learned culturally, and some of them come back here, and they have them come visit here because they've heard so much about the dance, and they've practiced diligently their hula, and you know, some of the course coming go to the Merry Monarch, and it's a big deal. So it's like this other whole realm of tourism that's developed between culturally Hawaii, and almost like it's our cultural sister country, right? In a way.
Absolutely, a little bit. I mean, even before we ever moved to Maui, I mean, we've been coming to Maui since the early 80s, but before we moved, I moved the family here. My eldest was already in a halau in Osaka,
and
we went all over, and we did tours. Even being Osaka based, there was a high demand for all the little kids to come up and dance and do events and things. So it was a lot of fun, and yeah, they're very, very, very hardcore.
They are. I mean, they take it to a level. Well, not that here. I mean, it's a wonderful discipline for young people here, and I have to give it to some of these people who I see, you know, just practicing and practicing and practicing, and the halaus are very disciplined here, but some of them are just like, wow.
When you take Japanese discipline and work ethic and you apply that.
Which is pretty amazing, really. Yep. There is this... I think there's this, you see a lot of aloha exchange, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that was the nicest thing for us when we were there. It's difficult to, as a foreigner living in Japan, everybody treats you as a tourist, no matter what. I mean, I'd been living there for, like I said, 10 years, and I would constantly see the same people, and it's still really, really difficult to actually make real friends and get a connection. But those, if you, once you join a group like that, it completely transforms their image of you. Mm. And it was a whole lot easier.
I was talking to Christine Wong, who is a friend of ours, and she was working the Maui Matsuri Festival, and they were very grateful it didn't pour rain because they thought it might. But they had the wonderful sailors from the ship that came to perform on a Friday night. And they were there watching the different activities of the cultural groups. And I was saying to her, I said, well, they must have been impressed with our taiko drummers, you know, because we have a good taiko. She said they didn't really care about anything that was Japanese because they're Japanese. But what they really cared about was seeing our hula halaus and the hula dancing. And, and that's what they really were really excited to be able to see and learn and be involved with the hula halau. She said some of those sailors had never been out of the country before.
Wow.
Had
I
never
saw
been out of Japan.
The ship in the harbor, and I saw some of them walking along the.
We all saw some of them walking around.
Yeah, they were cute.
They were very cute. They really were. Very white outfits. Boy, perfectly kept. I need to take a little pause and give a little thought to what's been going on, of course, on the Big Island with the volcano. And what has really been quite an eye opener to me is that tourism's been hit. Because of this, there's been on the Big Island especially many people who have had hotels or bed and breakfasts or vacation rentals saying, well, we're going to cancel our trip, even if they're not close to the area that is dangerous. It's always so confusing. I've had many people actually say, are you okay? You know, is that about you too?
I've gotten those emails from friends in Japan. Yeah. I think a lot of that comes from the fact that their image of Hawaii is Oahu, of Waikiki Beach specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And they really have no concept that there is more than one island.
Well, I heard that a Fox News reported that it was Oahu on one of the reports in the beginning. Yes, and that's when everything went like, oh, it's Oahu. And that was on, national newscast.
Right.
But whenever there's these things that happen, unfortunately, people don't realize that doesn't mean that, the rest of the state's affected and it's a small area. Not that we take away from what's going on. It's awful, But it's also very bad for tourism and people. We are dependent on tourism, and so when all this news is constantly out there to the rest of the world, a lot of people think, oh my gosh, we can't go to Hawaii now because they just hear Hawaii and volcano.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really we try to, as much as we can, through I guess social media and stuff. Have you got any calls from people who are planning to come or who are confused by this?
We do a fair amount of inbound for people from the mainland, but no one's concerned.
Your people know better.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
because I was hearing and reading about, I think it was a 8% drop in tourism that had happened. And, of course, and it didn't help that, of course, the poor people in Kauai had the floods there so people were still seeing all those images. And so it's interesting that when that happens, I'm sure that some of that happened to Japan after Fukushima.
Oh, absolutely. And then they really did have some serious issues. I mean, they immediately shut down all the nuclear power plants. A lot of hotels and stores and businesses were all shutting down escalators. They took out like half the fluorescent light. It was a serious issue because they really shut off a large portion of their power grid in a knee-jerk reaction right after the event. But of course, there was all sorts of other issues going along with that, and radiation and things that people were seriously concerned about. I think that's less of a concern when you have volcanic activity, although you do see that as well. When
now we're concerned about acid rain, right?
Right, exactly.
Acid rain? No, I mean, and again, that's not happened yet, but it's a concern.
Sure.
But when you see that, and I was looking and trying to keep up, as we all are, in the news, and I see headlines and some of the, you know, national services, acid rain, you know, and then you're going, oh, no, there's everyone going to think again. And it's not even happened yet. It's a concern, you know, but unfortunately, the worst part of the story gets out there, and then people assume it's the reality. But tourism is really an important part of all travel. You travel to Japan, travel here. I've heard stories that when things happened after 9/11, in fact, mm-hmm. that a lot of Japanese tourists did not want to come because they thought it would be rude to come to a country that was going through sorrow or going through grieving, and that they thought that kind of thing you don't do because it's not polite, which was kind of like, wow, I'd never thought of that. You know, it's like, oh, you don't, I don't understand
well,
that
there's,
one.
Well, there's that aspect to it. I'm sure there's a dip every time we have a mass shooting or something that shows up on the news. Their opinion is that the United States is actually quite dangerous.
Oh, is it really? Truly?
Yeah, there was something about that recently, like Australia or mm-hmm. somebody was banning their citizens from coming from the U.S.
I had not heard
dangerous.
That. Wow.
This was a while back. But.
Well, you know, Peter Greenberg's been doing a couple of his shows recently from Mexico, and they of course say people aren't going there because we have travel bans saying it's dangerous to go to areas mm-hmm. in Mexico, and the secretary of the tourism board was on Peter's show and said, well, it's dangerous to go to Chicago too, it's dangerous to go to Las Vegas sometimes, but that doesn't mean that you can't go, you know. So
well, there are dangerous places everywhere. America's but the mainland is quite large.
Mm-hmm. But people in Japan anywhere. Actually think that coming to Hawaii is dangerous?
I don't think coming to Hawaii is I mean, it's, like I said, it's almost considered a separate
thing. Place, yeah.
But if you're thinking about going to New York, the Niagara Falls is still a famous thing for them to do. Mm-hmm. Those types of course, Las Vegas is one. New York is one of those, and Washington, D.C. is one of those very highly attractive places, but it's also considered a risk.
You know, it's funny because I hadn't really realized it. Our perception from the outside world was that way. So now that you are accepted more because you have a child that does
I have, who? I have three children.
Three children.
Only the one when before we left was actually doing hula.
And that opened up doors to you?
It absolutely did. And just, I mean, my magnetic personality over the years. I was able to form a reasonable number of connections with folks there. Like I said, I get emails. Everybody's concerned when there's something going on here. But, yeah, it's like I said, it's very difficult to really get accepted more than just a tourist. So if you have an invitation from Japanese to actually do. First of all, understand that an invitation doesn't necessarily mean that they really want you to come and visit their house. they're a very polite society. The offer will be made, like, please come over, et cetera, et cetera. They don't actually mean it, unless they really mean it. And you have to be able to figure out which it is. Is it just the polite offer, or they really want to bring
you over? So is it their version of let's do lunch?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right, good.
And it's
when
much
do you
more
know it's beyond let's do lunch?
Basically, well, they're going to, like, take you by the hand and drag you home.
Okay.
it'll be repeated.
It would be embarrassing if you actually thought they actually meant get together.
If you really did and then you show up, it's very, very actually a bad thing.
Yeah.
But, no, it'll be repeated ad nauseum if they truly mean it.
Uh-huh.
So that's something.
Now, your wife works for the airlines.
Correct.
United. When did she start working for United?
97, I think.
Oh, she's been almost coming up on a year. Oh, actually, a year. She's over a year. 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that really changed your travel agenda.
It certainly helps me. It lets us go back and forth quite a bit. She's never really been able to. I mean, United has a presence on Oahu, but it's one of those bases where you really can't transfer in.
Uh-huh.
So she continues to be based in Tokyo, in Narita, actually, which is not in Tokyo. I think everybody needs to be aware of that. When you travel into Japan, there's a few major airports. Tokyo International is one of them, but it's not actually Tokyo at all. It's like 2 hours outside the city. So be aware that there's a lot of travel time involved in flying into Narita. But there is actually a little a city that's formed around that airport. They call it Narita Village, actually.
Mm-hmm. And you take a train in, typically, if you're flying into Narita?
If you fly into Narita, you would take a train or a bus, either one.
The airport limo bus.
The airport limo bus, yeah. Again, it's going to take a
couple hours. You did that,
Kathy,
when you were just there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's 2 hours about by bus?
It was more about an hour and a half. The traffic was
insane. Yeah, it depends. Yeah. It depends on traffic, for sure.
But that's the least besides the train. The train's the least expensive, but the airport limo bus would be the next. Taxis are really expensive.
If you have luggage, it's kind of hard to maybe do.
No, the buses have has storage underneath in general. I mean, unless you're traveling with a lot of stuff, it's perfectly fine. I generally would recommend the bus over the train just for that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because getting on and off the trains with your luggage, not only is it difficult, but it's also considered bad form to be taking up
all that space
on the train, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's good to know. And that's something you plan. I'm sure you tell your people, Kathy, about that, because that's something. You know, you're coming in, you're a little out of it, and sometimes the time, it could be different hours, so you have to make sure you're able to negotiate that. And you said, I think that the taking a cab would be rather expensive.
Yeah, it's a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, it's going to be $200.
$200 to $300.
Oh, my gosh.
I priced it out for clients. Yeah, it's expensive.
Now, it used to be that it was rather expensive for the hotels in Tokyo. Is it still very expensive for hotels in Tokyo, or has the price come down?
I've seen reasonable prices.
Reasonable prices, yeah. There's a lot of competition right now across Japan. What I've noticed mostly, I mean, we still go back for summer break and winter holiday and everything. Basically, any break from school, we've been, in Japan. And so I've watched things change over the past few years. And like I said, there's an awful lot of explosive amount of tourism coming from other Asian destinations. And there's a couple things on the horizon now for Japan. Of course, the Olympics is the big one. The 2020 Tokyo will be hosting the Olympics.
It's gonna be it's
Tokyo. It's called the Tokyo Olympics, but it is there. They've got venues all over the place. And then Osaka has a World Expo scheduled in 2025. And so, in preparation for this, what you see are a lot of places that are reforming, revamping, rebuilding hotels and hostels. I see a tremendous number of hostels because it's more less expensive and more accepted from like other Asian destinations that you really go into this kind of shared room, or you travel as a family and you would buy out an entire room in the hostel.
Oh, that is an interesting idea. I've never heard of that before. That hostels will do family rooms, that you can rent out rooms
if you are traveling with 10 people and the room holds 10 people, then you take the room. It's kind of the
and Airbnb there Airbnb is I've heard not I've not booked it, but I have clients or friends that have booked Airbnb in Japan.
Airbnb is originally that was quite good. You can get some great deals, and there were lovely places. In recent years, because of the explosion of Chinese tourism, it's kind of got a bad rap with the local populace.
Is it the same thing as here? Because it's taking up the real estate properties, and people don't like that. Is that why the bad rap?
Yeah, it's not even that. It's just that the buildings are not maintained. They don't really take care of things. They're literally there just to make a quick buck, and they're not having a. There are a lot of things that you do when you're truly in Japanese culture. Like when we were going to resurface the waterproof the building that I own, you go to your neighbors and you break a bag of rice and you apologize profusely for all the noise and everything else that you're going to be doing, because I mean there's literally, I want to say, like 4 inches between my building and the building next to me.
Wow.
They're going to hear it.
Yeah.
So it's much more community oriented than we may be used to, and certainly, I mean, we're far away from each other. You still mention it to your friends and neighbors that, hey, I'm going to be doing some construction, or if you have an HOA, you definitely have to go through process. But it's just culturally accepted that you would go and apologize for the noise, the dust, whatever else you're going to be doing. And none of these foreign owners of these new properties are doing any of that, and so it's considered offensive.
They're not being polite.
Right.
They're not being good neighbors.
Right.
Which I think that could be something that we're seeing probably in a lot of places. The fact that is probably building up in other cities as well,
yeah,
other countries as well, that eventually the people are going to say, these people aren't around and they're not taking care of things and they don't know who's coming in or what's happening. And that can make enemies with neighbors pretty quickly as well. If you have some loud and noisy people staying there or coming in late and partying and stuff like that, that can also be offensive.
Yep.
Which can happen.
So that's what we're seeing a lot of in Japan. So the Airbnb.
And you think the Chinese influx, more of Chinese, is actually kind of creating that need and demand because that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't want to blame any particular group. It's just that there's a massive influx of this like I said, other Asian destination tourism. There's a lot of Korean. There's a lot of Chinese. There's a lot of all the they're just traveling a lot.
Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah,
and I'm glad they're getting the exposure to other cultures. I mean, I think Japan is a fantastic place to go. I recommend it to everybody, no matter where you're from. But the sheer volume of tourism is not something that Osaka is generally ready for.
Well, there's about 3 or 4 places that, you know, just like everyone wants to come here and they want to go to Haleakala, EL, and there's a, you know, you go to Lahaina. And then you maybe go to the beach or some, you know, Mama's Fish House.
And you now need to make a reservation for sunrise, right?
Did you see in the paper that tourism was down? Haleakala visitors were down.
Oh, because of the appointment thing?
I don't know if it's because of the appointment thing, but I think they also may have raised park prices as well. Entrance fees might have gone up last year. But it is something that we all kind of think and know of a few things. In Osaka, there's about 3 things that you go. You go to the deer park, don't you?
Well, it's Nara, right?
In Nara. And isn't there a huge wooden temple that's very, very old, like a 1,000 or 2,000 years old?
There's a couple of them you need to visit if you do these. If you do, what I always recommend to folks is use Osaka as your base.
Yeah.
Because you can reach Kyoto, Kobe, and Nara as day trips.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can still come back in the evening and spend some time in the city, do a little nightlife in Osaka proper. All of them are lovely. So you have, obviously, you want to go do that Nara thing. It's not just that, although the bowing deer is a fantastic thing. Just sit in the park, grab a drink from the local convenience store, Lawson or a 7-Eleven or something, and watch the girls try desperately to feed the deer without touching them. But they've trained these deer over the years. They actually bow, or they're supposed to bow. A lot of tourists don't know, and they just kind of hand out the little crackers that they sell. But if you hold it and wait, the deer will bow, and then you can give them the cracker.
Photo that's a good travel tip.
Yeah,
that's
a very good one. Lovely, lovely photos if you can do it. But watching the high school girls who are all giggly trying to feed the deer without actually touching them is really, really funny.
And I hear Osaka is a good place for food. It's like a food capital.
A little bit. People that know me and come over know that I make okonomiyaki, which is it's essentially a cabbage pancake.
I have never heard of a cabbage pancake. They don't serve it at IHOP.
You now need to come over. it's a regional food from Kansai, the Kansai area, which I absolutely adore. And so I learned how to make it, and I'll do those at home from time to time. But there's a lot of stuff like that. Takoyaki is another one that's from Kansai, Osaka area. But food everywhere is just fantastic. I mean, you really can't go wrong. And yes, of course, there, like I said, I started the show with telling you what the price of a Big Mac is. Of course, there's McDonald's and Starbucks and a bunch of other stuff. Don't go that route.
Yeah.
Challenge yourself just a little bit because you will find some amazing food.
Noodles.
Some noodles. There's one that's my absolute favorite now. You have to walk a little bit through the seedy part of Osaka to get to it. But it's ramen, but it's not. It's less soup and more sauce, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's literally tonkotsu ramen. So it's pork ramen, but it's the sauce has been sitting there for days, just simmering, simmering, simmering down. Add a little garlic, and it turns into this sludge that you put on your noodles.
Sounds like but Anthony is, Bourdain would love it.
But it is so good.
That sounds great. Have you ever thought of doing tours? You have all these.
Actually, I have for a while. I mean, I really thought that I just put up a website and offer a bunch of stuff. And
well, to have someone who understands it and has lived there. It sounds like you speak Japanese as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can get by. Yeah. I never took a class. I do speak local Kansai dialect, which is actually a problem because I don't know the proper real Japanese. And everything I ever learned was from me and my friends hanging out in the pub. So what do you call a pub in Japan?
What's a pub? Is it same like what we think English pub?
Snack, which is literally a place you would go to get a little something to eat and a drink.
Beer, Japanese beer?
It could be beer. My favorite go-to these days is Chuhai, which is everybody that's familiar with shochu or soju if you're Korean. The shochu is a barley-based liquor. It's kind of the same process that they do for sake, but it's using the barley instead, and it can be quite good or quite almost tasteless. But the chuhai is actually made from the kind of tasteless variety. It's a very clean alcohol. Again, anybody that's been over my house and drank a whole lot of this stuff knows that you can have a fair bit of it and still wake up clear-headed the next day,
really?
Which I think is really, really unique, especially for me.
Yeah.
I have a stomach issue anyway, yeah. So I can't do a lot of hard liquor. But the Chuhai is fantastic, and it comes in a variety of crazy flavors, and you can find it in any Japanese convenience store.
Really? And it's spelled how?
Chuhi is usually what was on the can in English
interesting.
Letters.
Be interesting to try it out. You haven't tried it, have you?
No.
Oh, I'm going to have to bring you some.
Yeah. It sounds amazing. So you go to the Deer Park. You go where
grab
else
yourself
would you
a can of Chuhai.
And Kyoto. Where do you go in Kyoto? The old town is beautiful.
Kyoto, I would just walk the streets. Yeah. It is absolutely gorgeous. There's a myriad temples and little shrines and things that you can just walk into. Some of them charge, usually not more than like $5. Mm-hmm. But you can spend the day doing that. That brings up another point, is that if you are traveling around and you're concerned about the language, don't be. Because, like I said, back in 1993, I was the only white guy there. But somewhere, I want to say like 2003, 2004, Osaka made a bid for the 2008 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get it. But in that process, all of a sudden, subtitles appeared on everything.
Wow, amazing.
So you can now get on the train, and the stations already have everything in English. They're now numbered.
That's amazing, because they didn't have that before.
You know exactly which station you're going to. They're numbered, so you know if you're going the right way or not.
Very good.
The announcements overhead are in Japanese, English, Chinese, Korean.
Wow.
Maybe both dialects, Chinese.
Major difference, unbelievable
difference. And so, you know, you can get around street signs. Most of the places have English menus. Even if the staff doesn't speak, you can literally point at the big pictures on the thing. That's another thing. All Japanese restaurants, as you're walking by, it's generally accepted that they're going to have a glass display case, and inside is the plastic food that everybody hears about, but it is so well done that it literally looks exactly like what you're going to be served. So if you want that, just point at that. and you will get exactly that.
So what else would we do down from Osaka? What would the other be?
So you have the Kinkakuji, Ginkakuji, which are the gold and silver temples. I think that's one of the ones you were talking about. The gold leaf temple, Kinkakuji, was finished. And unfortunately, they ran out of money before they were able to do Ginkakuji. So Ginkakuji is still just wood. But both of them have fantastic grounds and are just lovely to walk. And so if you're really looking for that kind of cultural experience, I would strongly recommend those. There is one of the largest Buddha in the world. I think that's actually Nara.
Nara.
That is Nara.
Is it Nara? Or I thought it was Kamakura. Is the outdoor the
one you? Kura has a. Yeah. I don't know outdoor. If it's the largest one, but it's big.
Yeah, one of the yeah. one of the largest. I don't. Yeah. I don't know if it's the largest one either.
Well, there's a difference because the one in Kamakura is outdoors because the building temple grounds caught fire 1,000 years ago or something, mm-hmm. so it's outdoor. So they I think that's one of the largest outdoor. I'm not sure if yours might be the largest indoor. Or
I think that's the the indoor one. Mm-hmm. In Osaka proper, of course, you would want to go to Osaka Jokoin, which is Osaka Castle Park, which of course has Osaka Castle now. Osaka Castle also has burned down a number of times, and it is a museum inside. So it's been rebuilt, and it's a modern museum inside with a lot of Japanese history, Osaka history specifically, so Kansai area. But the castle grounds are fantastic. If you were there, especially during cherry blossom season, which of course we were just... which is just over. It's a lovely, lovely park. When we were there, I would go for hanami, which is just literally watching flowers, to sit in the park and barbecue and drink and have a good time every year.
Where would you recommend staying, and how much would it cost when you go to Osaka?
Realistically, I mean, like I said, it depends on what you're willing to accept. If you are you have no problem with the hostel experience, I've seen prices under... $25 a night, which is crazy. Realistically, it's going to be a little more, maybe $100-$120
for a hotel
for a nice hotel.
Is that all?
That's
like
it.
Like a three-star type. Yeah. I've seen like 150 for like a three-star. That are pretty decent.
I'm amazed. I thought it would be much more than that.
I think they charge more for folks coming. Calls from overseas as opposed to what I see advertised.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
maybe.
And then, but. 200-ish for maybe
that's
two
a really,
to
that's
300
a really nice
for
hotel.
Four or five star.
Yeah.
So and eating out isn't bad.
Eating out is never bad. You're going to pay more if you start to drink, of course. If if you like to drink and you want to sample the Chuhai or anything else out there, it tends to be more expensive. Lunch is the best deal. Actually, breakfast is the best deal going because you can get a morning set. When you wake up in the morning and it's early. Head outside, you'll see little coffee shops. Try to patronize the little mom and pop shops because these places are fantastic. You'll go in there, you order a cup of coffee, and as a service with that, they will give you toast or an egg or half a banana or whatever else. The food is free. You buy a cup of coffee for
really?
$300-$350
I've never heard of that. So you can get a breakfast for $4.
Correct. Yep.
Amazing.
And then
so just order the coffee and then...
Yeah, order the coffee. It's generally assumed that you're there for everything, but but you will order a cup of coffee, either hot or iced coffee. That's going to be what they want to know. The only question is hot or ice.
Uh-huh.
If you want to act really cool, you can say reiko, which is actually chilled, like refrigerated coffee.
Cool.
I don't even hear anybody of my generation using that word anymore. That's very old Japanese.
Wow. So you can do a trip like this. I mean, if you were going on Hawaiian Airlines at 577, but that's going to be warm. But it's throughout the summer, so maybe avoid the August time.
Try to avoid August unless you're a glutton for punishment.
Maybe late June. I don't know if they'll start in late June, but
I was just reading the email. I think it was good through the end of May. Was the stipulations book by May 19th for travel from May 4th through May 31st.
Oh, well, that's not bad because then you could go in
that's
May.
Not even, yeah, that's
round
still,
trip
that's
starting
still
at 577. That's
and
pretty
darn
good.
And the weather
good.
Right now is fantastic. Yeah. It's a little warm in the sun and in the city, but if you're walking the park or whatever else, you're going to be, it's just perfect.
So you can do a nice trip for about 7 or 8 days for
pretty
$1,800, about $1,700,
$1,800. So lunch, you want to look around. They still have something called the one coin lunch. Now the Japanese currency is a little different where they actually have a large 500 yen coin. That's like $5. So it's a $5 coin. But because of that, they have the one coin lunch special.
Well, that's a great deal, $5 for lunch. You can't get lunch for $5 here easily unless you are going to McDonald's.
No, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yeah. Minute stop, you can.
Yeah, that's true. I won't say anything. Okay,
well, the one coin lunch in Japan is usually pretty good. It's actually meant for like business people and stuff picking up, but you can look around for bento as well.
How do you know it's one coin lunch? Does it say?
Well, usually they have big. It's gonna be a big sign. It says 500, and usually the zeros are the coin.
Okay.
So you'll see that, and it's pretty obvious. They try to make it very, very obvious because they're trying to attract that lunch business. Extremely competitive. Dinner is where you're going to get caught. So watch where you go and watch the menu prices. Actually, that's another thing. If you don't see prices on a menu, stay away. If you have to ask, it's too expensive.
Oh, really? Okay, that's good to know.
That's a biggie. So make sure your menus have prices on them before you sit down.
Okay. All right. I'm vegetarian. Is it hard? I don't eat fish. Difficult with you don't eat fish and you're vegetarian.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's well known.
But the gluten
free folks or the vegetarian folks are going to have a little harder time. Mm-hmm. There are some places. Again, you're actually going to see that in English on the windows for the places that are really really trying hard. If they say it's vegetarian, I wouldn't. I mean, if you have a serious allergy, I would still try to steer clear of folks unless it's well documented that it's not, because they don't bother like washing the knives. They'll use the same knife for everything. So if you have an allergy, that's a problem.
But if it's
a lifestyle choice, then maybe you're get a bite out of it.
So when people go to Osaka, I think a lot of people still take the bullet train and go into Tokyo, true as well. And Tokyo is a lot more expensive, right? You were just in Tokyo. Did you find it expensive?
I didn't. The hotels arranged, like I said, anywhere when we went, but it was winter, so they were lower price, anywhere from, you know, 150 on up. So it just depends. But the food, we found little hole in the wall ramen shops. We were only there 3 days, but we never spent more than $20. We don't drink.
That's amazing.
There you go.
Total for two for dinner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Now,
you don't rent cars. No one rents cars. You don't drive.
I mean, you can if you really, really want to.
You go crazy because isn't it on the other side of the street?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a double whammy. Plus, traffic is insane, right?
Driving on the other side of the street never really bothered me. The issue is that the traffic is very difficult to navigate. You will be dealing with a lot of other, like pedestrians and bicycles that you see that are similar. I mean, I see guys no-handed on the bike, typing on his cell phone, darting in and out of traffic.
Oh no!
Saw that a lot in Egypt.
It's pretty. Yeah. It's pretty scary. Yeah. It's pretty scary. But the roads are very, very narrow. I mean, it's just not what you're used to. And I go to Japan and I stay there for a little while and then I come back and I park at Costco. Those spots are gigantic.
I always thought they were small here.
I could put two cars in there.
I'm shocked. I really am. I always thought the spots were small here.
Yeah. No. The roads are very, very narrow, and you see a lot of. I mean. One ways that are not actually one way. You literally have to wait for somebody else to come before you can go the other way down the road.
Yeah.
So
buses take you to places like Kamakura, right? You do basically you pick those up.
You can do bus trips. There's a lot of, you know, at your hotel, the concierge can do bus trips. Mm-hmm. We just took the train.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the trains are the best deal going.
Yeah.
Absolutely best deal going. They do have passes. So if you are going to be using the train a lot, think about getting one of the JR rail pass
before you leave.
Did you get the rail pass?
No, we were only doing 3 days, but if I was doing longer, I would have.
There's no metro, is there? It's just a train, all train.
It's like a metro.
Yeah,
inside the city.
Okay, there's the subway, the Osaka actual subway and Tokyo subway. Tokyo subway is a little bit difficult to navigate just because there are so many of them. There's a lot of different lines, so you want to be clear. But again, they've all got subtitles and the announcements are in English, so it's not nearly as difficult as it used to be.
Yeah.
Osaka subway is like just simplistic, super easy, but it's not JR. So you have to go and get
Japan
Railway rail service. That's the actual company. Mm-hmm. So if you get a Japan Railway pass, that's not valid on the subway.
Uh-huh.
So do that. Like I said, if you're going to be doing the day trips in and out, you know, you're going to be bopping around places. specify that date first. Again, try to check with your travel professional to get the pass on the day you expect to be driving or traveling around, and then pay the subway as you go.
Well, we have about 5 minutes, and I want to cover the top things to do in Tokyo, because still a lot of people still go to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them combined. When you sell packages, you sell Tokyo most, and then some Tokyo Osaka, or what do you...
It's mainly a combination, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the there's that beautiful, beautiful... I remember the grounds of the king's...
The palace. Emperor.
The emperor's palace. Mm-hmm. I remember that. That was very interesting.
It's essentially the equivalent, like I said, going to Osaka-jo in Osaka. You want to go to the emperor's palace in Tokyo. There's a huge park around it with the moat and everything, and the park just extends beyond that. You can literally walk it all day long and never see the same place twice. It is very, very large.
And then you want to go to some of the old temples. There's some lovely old temples right in the middle of town, right?
These are places that have been historic, what do they call them, sites, international historic sites.
World Heritage,
that's the word, thank you, for long before the city had really grown up around them. But they've been there for thousands of years.
A lot of incense.
For sure. When you walk up to these temples, it's expected that you wash your hands and your mouth, watch the people ahead of you. Do what they do.
I didn't know that. I don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water, but yeah.
Yeah.
There's that.
How do you what? You wash your mouth and spit it out?
Correct.
You pretend you're drinking the water.
You're not actually supposed to drink it at all. You're supposed to spit it out. But do watch the people ahead of you. You'll get a general pattern.
And then when you're
done, the last thing you need to do, take another scoop of water and make sure you wash the handle before you put it back. So
I have a video of that. I think I posted on Facebook from our guide that showed how to do it
properly.
I wasn't aware of that. That's very good to know.
Awful lot of that.
I highly recommend Kamakura. That's a beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful. And you said that wasn't hard to get to by train.
It was like maybe an hour out of Tokyo, mm-hmm. and then to Kamakura, and then where to go to the big Buddha. You go to Hase, which is a small little train, maybe two stops after that.
So how do you do shopping? Can you just walk and find the shopping? It's a fast city. It's big, fast, and mm-hmm. it can be confusing to someone who doesn't kind of know their way around walking, can it?
Absolutely. Like I said, the signage has gotten much better. Generally speaking, the shopping areas are all kind of connected and conglomerate in one place, right?
Oh.
So you're going to be, like I said, Osaka basically has two large shopping districts, it's Namba and Umeda. Tokyo, I mean, where would you point people? Tokyo is such a large, sprawling thing. It's hard to tell. Shibuya is obviously someplace you want to go. Stand in front of that famous five-way crossing.
The Tokyo Scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Hachi statue.
Yeah. That type of stuff, but just pretty much anywhere. You're not banned from anywhere by being a foreigner. Knowing one or two words goes a long way.
Best words. We only have like a
arigato.
Arigato is the one that everybody
knows.
That's
the only one I know.
No, the one that I want to teach everybody for this episode. Open your ears right now, okay? Sumimasen.
Sumimasen,
like sumi.
Sumi.
Don't please, but sumi.
Sumimasen.
Ma, like your mother, ma. Sen.
Sumimasen.
Sumimasen. It means thank you and excuse me in every way you can think of to use excuse me in English.
Oh.
You bump into somebody, sumimasen. You want to get somebody's attention in the restaurant, sumimasen. It's always that.
Sumimasen. You put an accent on sen. Sumimasen.
Sumimasen. Yeah.
Sumimasen.
It's just very, 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 very useful.
Okay, so everybody, sumimasen.
Yep, sumimasen.
Okay, well, that's something I'm really glad you taught me an important word.
That's probably the most useful one. Arigato, obviously, is one. Domo, you hear domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. domo is you can say it just by itself, domo, but it's
domo
a little...
Domo means thank you?
Domo, it's like thanks.
Thanks. Okay.
It's a little casual, and I wouldn't unless you
know someone
or you're it's a very clear disparity in class status. I wouldn't necessarily use it.
Okay.
but it's easier to say domo.
Have you become more polite? Oh, we only have 20 seconds for the answer.
Have I become more polite?
More polite having gone to... Well, it sounds like you've become very polite. Learning how to be polite in Japan is very important.
That's an absolute necessity if you're going to live there and have friends. I mean, you don't want to offend people.
Wow. Well, I mean, you've done an amazing job, Jason. Jason with Solar Coaster. It's on Fridays. Here, you can hear it. I always learn something very interesting.
And Solar Coaster 105.
It's at 1 o'clock. It's a 105.
Renewable energy theme talk show that we have. Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. And thank you, Kathy Takushi, 244-1414. Captivating Journeys. Aloha. With your latest news hit. Well, that was